Welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we will hear from Pastor Ray on Building God's Church. Now here is Pastor Ray.
All right, you may be seated. And I was going to have you, Pastor Matt took the moment to have you greet one another already. I thought since we're really socially distanced today that you could just give someone a holy kiss, but alas, we won't do that today. So let me just say there's so much emotion on this day for Linda and me, and so many things that we should say, we would like to say to you, our family, that we have known for 25 years. We've led you for the last 13 years. And I think maybe just the only appropriate thing that sums it all up is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. What an amazing church family. We are so blessed, so privileged, so humbled. This has been way more than we ever thought or more than we deserve. Thank you. Well, this morning, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, or your Bible app, Matthew chapter 16. And as I exit this pulpit today, leaving it to another to fill, I want to leave you with a prophetic exhortation that God gave me for Portland Christian Center back in 2008. As I was presenting my ministry here, before you elected me to be your pastor, this is the word that God put on my heart for you. And it is still a word from the Lord today, just as much today as it was back then. So Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19, and this is what it says. As Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They said, "Some say John the Baptist, or Elijah, or Jeremiah, or another of the prophets." Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, you're blessed, for this wasn't revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, or the gates of hell, will not overcome it. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Anything you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and anything you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Verse 18 is our key verse this morning. It says, "And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it." Amen. There was an ancient Greek mathematician and inventor by the name of Archimedes. And one of the things that he invented or discovered was the use of a lever and a fulcrum to move immovable objects. And when he discovered that, this is what he exclaimed, "Just give me a place to stand and I will move the world. Give me a place to stand and I shall move the earth." Jesus' prophetic word there in verse 18 is Portland Christian Center's place to stand from which you will move your world. This is your missional mandate. See, God has a plan to transform Portland that hell can't prevent. That's right. Hell cannot stop God's unstoppable plan. And this city will be changed. One life, one family, one neighborhood at a time through the ministry of this church. See, government programs can't change Portland. Switching presidents or judges or the mayor can't fix it. The cure for what ails us won't be found in social activism or humanitarian effort. Nothing wrong with those. Neither education or science are the key. Not anti-science, not anti-education, but those will not fix Portland. The local church is the only hope of the world. Amen. The local church is the only hope of Portland. And that's because the only view of Jesus in this city is the church. For better or for worse. The only view of Jesus that this city will see is Portland Christian Center and other churches like it. Just doing church as Christ intended. And that is the catalyst for the spiritual reclamation and transformation of Portland and the greater community around it. The local church is the hope, the only hope of the world. Now, why do I believe that? Why do I feel so strongly that this is a prophetic word to you? Why am I so hopeful for Portland Christian Center? Well, again, Jesus' prophetic word, his prophetic declaration in verse 18, I will build my church and the gates of hell won't overcome it. Won't overcome it. So I want you to take note in these verses, verses 13 through 19, our text for today. I want to show you four building blocks to Christ's plan. Four building blocks in Christ's plan to build Portland Christian Center into that overcoming force. I'm going to move quickly through these. First of all, Jesus envisioned building a church built in the midst of an evil world. The church Jesus envisioned would be built in the midst of a fallen world. Well, you say, obviously, of course. But I want you to think about this. Jesus always builds his church at ground zero of a hostile, resistant culture, an evil culture, always at ground, and right in the middle of that is where he goes to build his church. I want you to look back at verse 13. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. Now, that is not unimportant geography. It's significant to what we're going to talk about here. You see, Jesus intentionally chose this precise location for the very first time to announce his intentions, his plan to launch the church. The church had not been mentioned before this. This is the first time Jesus uses the word the church. And he chose this precise location to make that announcement. Now, here's the thing about Caesarea Philippi. It was a center of Baal worship. There were no less than 14 temples of Baal right in that area. Now, Baal worship, among other things, among many other evil things, was a fertility cult. And these temples were teeming with cult prostitutes employed for ritual sex. And so Caesarea, to say the least, was a seedy place. It was a very seedy, evil place. You know, I think it's significant that Jesus didn't make this proclamation in Jerusalem or in Bethlehem or somewhere in the Bible Belt. He didn't go to Tulsa, Oklahoma or Dallas, Texas or Springfield, Missouri, believe it or not. He didn't go there. He first announced the launching of his church in the heart of a satanic stronghold. I mean, isn't that cool? This is like in-your-face time for Jesus. Went right to the heart of this satanic stronghold. Well, not only that, there was a deep cavern on a hill nearby that was said to be the birthplace of the Greek god Pan. Now, as you remember from Greek mythology, Pan was the god of nature, among other things, the god of nature. So not only the evils of Baal worship, but many of the legends of Greek mythology were birthed right there as well. And then Caesarea Philippi housed a spectacular white marble temple to the godhead of the Caesars, emperor worship. Now, it was built by none other than Herod the Great. Herod the Great, who had tried to kill the infant Jesus in the slaughter of Bethlehem's babies. Remember that story? He tried to cut Christianity off at its inception. And he is the example of leaders throughout history who have tried to do away with Jesus, who tried to do away, kill off Christianity. So against this backdrop of all of these religions and all of their power, in all of their glory, and all of their immorality, a homeless carpenter with a band of rejects said, I am going to build my church right here. I am going to build my church, and hell can't stop it. You know, I think it's a bit ironic that the excuse for why the church doesn't flourish here in Portland is that Portland is just too godless. It's just too godless. The culture has drifted too far from God. The anti-Christian sentiment is just too strong that we're the most unchurched city in the nation. This is why it can't happen here. But friends, think about this. That's exactly why Portland needs this church. This is exactly why Portland needs the church. A sin-filled, hostile, unchurched world, unchurched city is exactly where Jesus launched the church. And that's exactly where he intends the church to flourish, right in the heart of Satan's territory. right here in godless Portland. He says, I will build my church, and not even hell's gates can hold it back. Nothing can stop you. Right in the middle of a fallen, evil world. Second, Jesus envisioned building the church on the faith of imperfect people. And everybody said, hallelujah for that. I know you're perfect, but the person next to you is not by far. Look at verse 18. I mean, look who he says I'm going to build my church on. He says, you're Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. Now, we all know Peter, right? I mean, so Jesus is going out on a limb here by saying that. I mean, Peter, he's mouthy, he's inconsistent, he's headstrong. In Greek, the word for Peter is Petros, as in the Petros network. You know, it means a little pebble. We're just a bunch of little pebbles. But Jesus can take little pebbles and make them into a gigantic rock. He says, Petros, you're Petra, which means a boulder, a rocky peak, a big rock, a gigantic rock, a solid rock. Now, he's not referring to Peter the person. Some faiths get that mixed up, and they think Peter is the head of the church. But he's referring to Peter's faith declaration in verse 16. When Peter says, you are the Christ, when Jesus says, who do people say I am? And he says, you are the Christ. That's who I say you are. And so Jesus says that he will take feeble pebbles like Peter and like us, and on our faith, on our bold, courageous faith declaration, he says, I will build you into a prevailing force that not even hell itself can stop. Jesus specializes in taking molehills and making them into mountains. So when Jesus looks over this congregation that's here and that's watching online and that is yet to come, he doesn't see pebbles. He doesn't see little pebbles. He sees solid rocks. And he says that he will build his church on the daring faith of the likes of Portland Christian Center. Yes. I will build my church. Now, perhaps you think that as you look around, as you consider who we are, maybe you would say, well, we're not God's likely choice. I mean, we wouldn't be his first choice. We're weak. We're imperfect. We're under-resourced. But when Jesus looks at you, he sees faith potential. And he says, I will build my church, and hell can't stop it. He builds it on the faith of imperfect people. And then third, Jesus envisioned building a church on his own authority. On his own authority. I will build my church, verse 18 says. I will give you the keys to my kingdom, verse 19 says. You know, if this were my vision to build a church, or the board's authority, or the staff's energy, or the next pastor's hopes and plans to build PCC into that prevailing force, I would be worried because it wouldn't happen. But Jesus authorizes the building of this church. I know we're not the only church, but I'm talking to you today. It's my last chance. He authorizes the building of this church. And what he authorizes has heaven's full backing. Notice what he said. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose on earth will be bound, will be loosed in heaven. That's his authority. You have the authority, you, Portland Christian Center, have the authority to declare here in Portland whatever heaven prevents or whatever heaven permits. And what heaven backs, hell can't block. It can't. Because it's his authority, not ours. He gives us his authority to use. And that's why this works this way. You know, Lynn and I step out of this pulpit today to take our church planting mission, the Petros Network. Hope you'll get our prayer card. We're now missionaries. We're shamelessly gonna huck for this, right? But we take this church planting mission to unreached areas. We've been doing it, but now we increase it. We give all of our energies to it. To East Africa and beyond, we have churches now planted in Myanmar, formerly Burma, Listen, don't be surprised when you hear that we planted a church or churches in Saudi Arabia or Yemen. I think we'll be in India. I don't know where all God is going to take us, but we're going to go to the heart of Satan's territory. Because Jesus gave us the authority, we're going to plant the church, and he will build it. Nothing can stop it. You know, to date, we have partnered with 88 denominations. Boy, try doing that. It's like herding cats. You say it can't be done, but it can be done. And God blesses it because of the unity that it forces. 88 denominations to plant 5,200 plus churches to date in the last 10 years. You've had a big part of that. We have filled those churches with over 650,000 new converts that have never heard the name of Jesus Christ before hearing the gospel preached. Over 4 million people have heard the gospel. In these unreached areas, that means they didn't have a gospel witness in those areas, over 4 million people. And our church planters are the true heroes of this. Not me, for sure. Not our team from America, North America, but these men and women, church planters. And they are an unlikely force. They're uneducated. They're under-resourced. They're unimpressive. But they have gone in Christ's authority. They've gone out in Christ's authority and have proclaimed the gospel. And they have cast out demons. They have healed the sick. They have raised the dead. They have raised the dead. While suffering poverty, persecution, prison, they have still turned their world upside down. One life, one family, one village at a time. Listen. Who says that can't happen in Portland? Who says that? Not Jesus. Not Jesus. He says, I authorize you to use the keys of my kingdom to build my church. This happens on the authority of Jesus and Jesus alone. And then fourth, finally, I say in conclusion, which you know means absolutely nothing at all. Jesus envisioned building a church from indestructible material. Indestructible stuff. He will build it. The Greek word, he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's indestructible. The Greek word for prevail is katastuo, and it means to imprison, to overpower, to contain. But that is something that hell can't do. All of the powers of hell cannot stop the church from doing what the church does, which is what? Changing the world. Cannot stop it. You, collectively, individually, but collectively, here and watching online, collectively are Portland's hope. The catalyst for the spiritual reclamation and transformation of this city, of your neighborhood. And I pray with all of my heart, with all of my passion, with all of my energy, I pray that that truth will get into your spirit. I pray that it gets deep inside you and that you really believe it and you step out in belief, trust, and faith. Because if it gets into your spirit, Portland will bow the knee to Jesus Christ. The city will surrender to King Jesus. Church, Portland Christian Center, you are the hope of Portland. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, these first disciples, Peter and James and John and the others, they got this. They heard Jesus and they weren't perfect, but they got this. And that unlikely group went out into the most hostile, evil environment imaginable, the Roman world of the first century. They preached the gospel. They planted the church. They expanded the kingdom. And in only 300 years, starting with those 12, in 300 years, the mighty Roman Empire bowed the knee to Jesus Christ. That's what can happen. They did it without government protection, or political power or military backing or financial resources, those things that we so fight for these days in the evangelical world, maybe that's what holds us back. They did it without that. In the face of incredible resistance, hostility, hatred, and persecution, they simply proclaimed Christ. They just loved fiercely. They served humbly. They suffered joyfully. And they died willingly. That's all they did. And they prevailed because Jesus said they would. And Jesus says, you will prevail. You, Portland Christian Center, will prevail. So what do you need to do? You need to love fiercely, just like the first disciples. Love fiercely. Love one another fiercely. And listen, love this city fiercely. Love the city fiercely. Quit hating it. Quit fighting it. Quit condemning it. It's evil, I grant you that, but it's already condemned. Love it. Love the city. Serve humbly. Serve humbly. You know, the currency of I believe the only currency of the church these days in this city, they don't listen to our gospel, they don't like what we represent, but they listen to our compassion. When we become not just the mouthpiece, but the hands and the feet, the heart of Jesus, serving humbly and suffer joyfully. It's not always gonna go well for you. They won't believe you. They might persecute you. They might reject you and squeeze more of your rights away from you. When that happens, suffer joyfully. Suffer joyfully. You've been called to suffer for the name of Jesus. And if it comes to it, die willingly. Oh, maybe not physically, but die to yourself. Die to your wishes, die to your preferences. Whatever it takes, just die. Because in dying, you rise, you live in resurrection power. They prevailed, and you will prevail because Jesus said they would, and he says that you will. He says, on this rock, I will build Portland Christian Center, my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Dear friends, this is your place to stand from which you will move the world. Yes. You will move your world. Let's pray. Father, in this final moment of my leadership here, I pray for this church that I dearly love with all of my heart. Nothing compared to your love for it. And I pray that you will build your church. I pray that you would build this church into a prevailing force in this city that not even hell can overcome. And I pray the prayer that I've prayed before. I'll pray it again today, and I will pray it every time I think of Portland Christian Center. That you would make this church the greatest conduit for the completion of the Great Commission the world has ever seen. God, do it, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you'd like to hear more or learn more about us, visit our website at pcctoday.com or join us for our live streams at the 9 or 11 a.m. at live.pcctoday.com.